what's called the high priestly prayer. In the midst of the Passion Week, knowing what is about to take place and the judgment of God upon sin in Himself for our sins and our salvation, our Lord was thinking and praying and teaching and comforting His disciples, His immediate disciples, and through them, all of us. I've neglected to deal as fully as I wanted to deal with the 15th chapter and then the 16th chapter, and I could find 10 to 15 more good preaching for myself as scripture on them. I hope you won't neglect those chapters, the gift of the Spirit and the Spirit's gift to all of us in inspiration and teaching us the truth, the Spirit that the Lord and the Father sends in His name to bring us comfort, as so no longer that we have the presence physically of our Lord in Jesus Christ, which of course we will have if we die before He comes back and we go to heaven, or of course we'll have in this final triumphal entry upon the earth when the kingdom is finally realized and all the people of God are gathered together with Him and in Him in heaven. But this 17th chapter was my intention when I began, John, to get to the end. Though the last couple of years I've turned to shorter books of the Bible, recognizing the things were not as they should be, and I wanted to get through them, and I didn't want to leave them hanging, but I guess I want to leave this hanging. But I moved along very quickly because this is such a beautiful chapter, and I wanted to get at least looking into this chapter. Let me read in verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. I've glorified Thee on earth, I finished the work which Thou givest me to do. And now, Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self for the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. I've manifested Thy name unto all men which Thou givest me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou givest me, and they have kept Thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever Thou hast given me are of Thee. For I have given unto them the words which Thou givest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from Thee, and they have believed that Thou givest sent me. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me, for they are Thine, and all mine are Thine, and Thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am come no more into the world, but these are in the world, and I come to Thee, O Holy Father, keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Wise with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name, and those that Thou givest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. And now I come unto Thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them Thy word, and Thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that Thou shouldst take them out of the world, but Thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They're not of the world, even if I'm not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And thou hast sent me into the world, even so I send them into the world. And for the sake sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may all be one, as thou, Father, in me, and I in thee, and they also may be one in us, that the world may know, believe, that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou givest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them which thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that thy love wherein thou hast loved may be in them, and I in them. What a wonderful chapter. What wonderful things we can learn from this beautiful chapter. Certainly you could preach just of verse 1, recognizing that this was given in the hour that the Lord knew fully well what he was going to go through, that was ordained for him, and that he was willing to do from all eternity past, before the world even came into existence. The will of God is being done, will be done, and always has been done. And we will benefit from it if we're in Christ. But if we're not, only awaits us is the just justice of God upon sin. Certainly you could preach on verse 2. Boy, could I ever. All power, all authority. We read in the last words in the book of Matthew at 28, the Lord Jesus before that great commission, where he sent out his apostles in the church to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and then the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever he hath commanded. He declared all of power or all authority has been given to him in heaven and earth. Now Jesus, because he was the Word that was with God, and the Word that was God, by whom and through whom all things were created, had all authority, being God himself. But of course he's speaking here, and many times speaks, is not only God, but he speaks of that special role that he bears as the Son of Man, the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, as he took upon himself not the nature of angels, as we're reminded in the book of Hebrews, but he was made like unto his brethren in all points, yet without sin, to fully represent us, both in his life fulfilling the law of God and in taking the judgment that's demanded of the law and demanded of God, and God certainly will get what he demands, and represents us, represents his people. So we have this statement, all authority is given to him as that mediator, and the Lord is in control of everything. We might not see it with our eyes, but God's will is always being done, because he's reigning and ruling from heaven, and he does so certainly through the Holy Spirit, and particularly in the church. He's the king and the head of the church. But of course we see not only the general power of God over all things, and Paul preached in the book of Acts, speaking to those on Mars Hill, those pagans, that there's a day of judgment coming in which God will judge all things in the one he raised from the dead, of course referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the great sum and substance of all the miracles and the glorious bodily resurrection of the dead. And we read this morning how important the resurrection is to the gospel and to preaching and to our own hope of resurrection life, both spiritually in regeneration and eternally in the last for eternity in the last day. So we recognize that he has authority, particularly within the realm of salvation, as he gives it to his people. But then we come to the next verse. So that's the verse. I've spent all my time preaching this morning, and I haven't even got to verse 3. That's one of the most, and always been extremely interested in this verse. He speaks about eternal life. This is Jesus speaking. It's in the Word of God, so it's true. It's in the Word of God, so it's the words of the Holy Spirit written and penned by the Apostle John and preserved as the truth. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of Christ. But here in this prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he prays for his church, his people, and us who believe in him through the Word of God, he is defining eternal life. This is a very, I think there's 18 times in the book of John, 18 or 19 times this phrase is used, either life eternal or eternal life. And it's speaking about salvation, speaking about the end and the goal of salvation, the salvation that God provides for his people, not only about the hope of eternal life and the forgiveness of sins that are certainly at the basics of the good news and the gospel. We are free now from the bondage of sin and the consequences of sin. As Paul writes, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The blessed security and confidence that we have in him that maintains us and sustains us to the end. But what is the kernel of that life? The kernel of that life. And it's too bad, it's tragic, that so many in our day and days before us, and certainly days who will come after us, who downplay doctrine and instruction and facts and truth, and always striving for feelings, touchy feelings, and to please men and to satisfy other men or be comfortable. When the Lord Jesus Christ declared the very basis, the very heart of salvation and the gospel is the knowledge of God. The knowledge not of a God or a God of all the religions of the world, but the one true and only God. I've said this, I said it last week, I've said it all the way through John, I've said it for the last 50 years. The Christian faith, the Christian religion, the Christian message of hope, the gospel is unique to itself and is exclusive of everything and anything that differs from it. Paul said in Galatians, I condemn those who come, I anathematize those who come. Some have translated that a curse. Let them go to hell, because that's where they're headed. who corrupt the grace of God and try to mix it. It's not grace and works. It's not grace and works. There's one message, the purity of grace, the purity of Scripture, the purity of the message of the Lord Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's that personal knowledge. It's not just facts, but it's based on facts. I don't have the time. I could have easily gone back to the books of Moses. I could have gone to the prophets of the Old Testament, the major, the minor. I could have spent time in the Psalms and the Proverbs, where they speak of the necessity of the knowledge of the holy. The knowledge is the holy is the knowledge of God and God alone. It's not a recitation of facts. The devil's belief. The devil knows he's a defeated being. The devil recognizes the ultimate authority of God. He knows that he's a defeated foe, and all will be manifested on that last day. But he doesn't care. There's no personal knowledge. We have that in the book of Romans. When they had the knowledge of God, they glorified him not as God and did not want to retain him in their thinking. God made man. And God made all things. And the heavens declare the glory of God, the psalmist tells us, by the Holy Spirit. And Paul writes, the invisible things of God are manifested in those things that are visible. The Godhood of God. That there is a God. There's a holy God. There's a God who has all knowledge. He is sovereign over all things. But men, because of their fallen nature, cannot see it and reject it and corrupt it because they follow their own pernicious ways. But God did not intend that his only witness would be the revelation of creation. That's why we have and we've had the inroads and the wickedness and the corruption of evolution, particularly from 1700s and 1800s, even come and crept into the churches. But then, of course, we recognize God did not intend to end there, because God, if I was to preach another sermon, God has sundry times, divers ways, spoke. He spoke. He created all things. He created man. He spoke to man. Now we don't have all that he spoke to Adam and Eve, but we have enough that he wanted us to have, and enough that tells us the whole story. God communicated through words. And he's always communicated to us through words. Words that are defined and are definite. And in the course of time, in his providential work, he committed the same unto writing. Sounds like the Westminster Catechism, the first chapter. It's taken from the Scripture itself. Words. The words, the words, the words, the words. He spoke it. But unless enlightens us, chapter 1 and chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. But God has prepared them for the blessing of his people. But unless they're revealed by the Holy Spirit, we will not receive them, understand them, and know Him. Personal knowledge, the personal experience with God. Are we taught? That's what prayer is all about. We're talking to God. I often told this story. I learned this when I was in college, when I had one teacher that says, well, when you're on a long trip, put your Bible up on the steering wheel and read the scripture and memorize it while you're driving. I thought way back then, and I still am convinced today, that would be the last thing in the world I'd ever want to do. I'd be running off the road. Not the greatest of all drivers, nobody else is. What do we say in New Jersey? They must be New Yorkers. I'll be in Virginia and I'll be saying, they must be from New Jersey. I drive driven through New Jersey. Oh boy, I have to get a new license. Oh, if I could do that, we could drive anywhere, George, right? Oh boy. Oh boy. Driving crazy. But God has blessed us with these things through the Spirit, through the Word. He doesn't come. So don't put your thing on that. Never would drive any of them with that. I did go down to Florida way back when I was in college because I was licensed in the Southern Presbytery in Lakeland, Morris McDonald. He went out and they picked an orange. We had it for breakfast. Squeezed it. That was in 1969. I still remember that was the best orange juice I've ever had. Best orange juice. And Dr. Pond, who's a pastor of the church in Greenville, he also was a big executive in the Belt Sensum department store, but he was a pastor of the church. He was driving his elder, who probably I'm older than he, but I thought he was pretty old at the time, said, I see you're going down to from Greenville, South Carolina to Lakeland, Florida. You're flying. No, Dr. Pond is driving us down. He says, yeah, that's what I mean. You're driving. I mean, you're flying, he says. And there was Pond, and I sat, and then the elder sat. And I don't know how many times his hat fell off as we were driving. He drove like a maniac. I hope I've never done that. Driving. That was a long time ago. Knowledge is essential to our faith. God has communicated to us the truth. We're saved by the truth. We believe the truth. We were speaking about this in Sunday school. Paul says, if you deny the truth, if you haven't received the truth, you'll be damned. You have to believe the truth. The truth frees us from sin. And the darkness that clouds our spiritual heart and mind, we're dead in trespasses and sin. And it's by the graciousness of the Holy Spirit that all these things that are true, Moses is true, creation's true, Noah's true, the flood is true, David was true, Isaiah was true, Paul was true, the virgin birth is true, the crucifixion's true, the resurrection's true, the coming of Christ is true. It's true. True. But we have to believe it. And God graciously communicates us the true and living faith through His Son. Go back and, if you have time, read the back of your hymn books on the section of the Westminster Confession that talks about saving faith. It's a grace. It's a grace that is given. And it's given by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the next section, one of the things that it's given for and that it gives demonstration that it's true. We believe in the things of the Word of God, that Jesus has spoken as true by the authority of God. You read it. It's very specific. I'm thankful for those who have gone before us in the past. Don't dismiss them. They were godly men who did godly work in providing for us these materials in support of the truth. There it goes again. Don't worry about it. The truth. This is eternal life. It all begins there. That they might know thee. We pray. Do you pray? Not just Sunday. Not just together. Not just as we go to bed at night and maybe get down on our knees if we're able to get down on our knees and get up anymore. But it's speaking to God. I can speak to Him anytime, all day long. I do it audibly, and I do it through the mind. What are you teaching me here today, Lord? What are you teaching me in all this that I'm about to go through? I don't know. Use it for my sanctification. Sanctification. What lesson? It's a hard lesson, but may I learn it for thy glory, for my benefit, and the benefit of all those who I come in contact with. The knowledge of the only true God. And there's only one way to know it, through Jesus Christ. How many scriptures have we read? If you know Christ, you know God. If you know God, you know Christ. If you don't know Christ, you don't know God. There's only one. Not through this teaching and that teaching and this religion and that religion. Through the Holy Scriptures, which are the Word of God. Holy, inspired, true, inerrant. That the Holy Spirit witnesses and gives us understanding, a saving faith, a saving understanding. Men have faith, but it's in the wrong thing. Men have faith in themselves. That's what Eve tempted by the devil, the old serpent. Don't accept God's word. Don't believe, did He really say that? No. You can be as God. You can be your own God. You can know as much as Him. No, there's one true God. And we must know Him. And by God's grace, He has made Himself known to us. And that's why the world doesn't like you very much, the world system, because it didn't like God. And certainly didn't like Christ, the Son of the living God. And they rejected Him, even though He performed all the miracles that He did before them, because they were dead in their trespasses and sin, and they chose to go their own wicked way. But God, in His mercy and His grace, why in the world was there something in me that He saw? No! No. I didn't have anything. I wasn't any wiser. I wasn't any better. I didn't have any more knowledge. I couldn't do it. I had no particular gifts. I don't think I have any gifts. I wonder when I hear people play beautiful music, oh, how I would love to play the piano. I love to sing. I do it when nobody's around. And I have the reputation among some of the supermarkets I go. I've heard them say, here comes the Hummer. Oh, wow. Mother didn't fall that far from it. The only true God. What did I do? 79. I've been a Christian at least since for the last 75 years. Maybe longer. Was taught the truth. Taken to church. Morning, evening, vacation Bible school. There was never a time in my known memory that I didn't believe in God, in Christ, and question His word. Hard times, things you didn't understand, why is it happening to us? Or me. But I was taught this was God's will. And that ended. Some struggle with it. Some don't understand the sovereignty of God, and they, for a while, fight against it. I can't say that I ever did. I remember all those years I could go into stacks of the library. Libraries had books. Libraries had stacks of books. They had card catalogs. And I didn't like to use them. I certainly can't use all the modern things. I could go in them and I'd read all these books and I'd say, well, I believe that. What's so hard about that? That's the truth. Because it's the Word of God. What is eternal life? Eternal life is that they might know thee and the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. There's nothing else to say.